You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN specialist musical theatre show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And this week we're talking about a brand new movie musical that is out in cinemas now. This is Cyrano.
He's here.
Cyrano?
Cyrano.
Pleasure to meet you, Cyrano de Bergerac.
You're a freak. Freak.
My dearest friend, I'd be very angry with you if you died.
My sole purpose on this earth is to love Roxanne.
Does she know?
The world will never accept someone like me and a tall, beautiful woman.
We have no money. A clever marriage is your only option.
I won't be rescued. I'm not in distress.
Love, does that mean nothing to you?
Children need love. Adults need money.
I need something to die for. Write poems and cry for. And I won't be ashamed.
So Cyrano is a new movie musical from film director Joe Wright, with a screenplay by Erica Schmidt, who also wrote the stage musical that the film is adapted from. It has music by the American rock band The National, who also worked on the stage show, and the story basically just offers another adaptation of the classic play Cyrano de Bergerac. It stars Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones in the title role, reprising his performance from the stage musical. And before I say anything else, you need to know that he is simply fantastic in this film. He is powerful and convincing and dynamic and all the things that you want to be described as an actor, and he provides it in abundance. He really does carry the film. Because I went to see it earlier this week, and well, I guess the best way I can describe it is that I really enjoyed it as an overall experience and would absolutely recommend it and would watch it again. But I'm not really sure that I liked many of the component parts. Like, the plot, for instance, takes place in 17th century Paris, where Cyrano is this hot-headed swordsman crossed with a beautiful, soulful poet, and he's desperately in love with his childhood friend Roxanne, played by Hayley Bennett, who also was in the stage show alongside Peter Dinklage, just FYI. But Cyrano is too self-conscious about his height and his appearance to say anything about his feelings, so Roxanne instead goes and falls head over heels in love with a sweet-natured but hopelessly tongue-tied Christian, a new soldier who's just joined Cyrano's regiment. Christian wants to woo Roxanne, but doesn't know how because she's really into poetry and he isn't, and so Cyrano decides to ghostwrite a load of passionately eloquent, poetic love letters to Roxanne on Christian's behalf. Which is fine and oh so romantic, and obviously the point of literally every version of the Cyrano story. But it's literally two men catfishing a woman. Like, they are lying to her, sometimes more explicitly than at other times, and just to kick her while she's down, this is all happening while Roxanne is also being courted by this evil duke. Sound familiar? There's always an evil duke, isn't there? So she seems to have a lot to juggle anyway, and basically no healthy relationships available on the table at all. Like, the duke is pitched as cruel but wealthy, so we obviously can't want her to be with him, despite the fact that there does seem to be a plotline mentioned at the very start of the film where she literally has no money at all and is late on rent and so obviously needs the duke's funding. But then the film doesn't ever seem to come back to that ever again, which is a bit weird. But you know, the duke is mean and not romantic and not poetic, so she can't be with him. If you root for her to be with Christian, then you have to accept that he is basically an idiot. Like, a lovable idiot for sure, but an idiot nonetheless. There's a scene where he and Cyrano are trying to serenade Roxanne on a balcony, and Cyrano basically takes over the singing of the song because Christian can't get the words right, and Cyrano climbs up some steps to be nearer to the balcony, something Roxanne doesn't notice at all, by the way, so maybe she is perfectly suited to Christian. But Cyrano walks up these steps to sing to her, and then she goes, "Oh, now you should come and kiss me," and Christian is like, "I'll do that part." And I kid you not, he scales a drainpipe. Like, Christian, hun, the stairs are right there. We have just seen them. What are you doing? And that's obviously on top of the whole literally lying to the woman he supposedly loves thing. Something that he only really gets caught out on once, and then it's played for comedy rather than, you know, you're lying to this woman, do better. And that goes for Cyrano too. He really is the heart of the film and played brilliantly, as I said, by Peter Dinklage. And he's the character that you're easily the most invested in. But he's also lying to Roxanne. And then even with that aside, there's quite a hefty age gap between Peter Dinklage and Hayley Bennett. It's about 20 years, actually. And I'm never quite sure whether that's also meant to exist in the film. Like, they say that they're childhood friends, but then Cyrano tells a story about going to visit a library and finding Roxanne as a child asleep over the book that he wants to borrow, which is a really sweet memory if the age difference is like 1 to 3 years. And if it's 20, like it is in real life, that is what we call a red flag. But then Roxanne herself, I mean, she's played really well by Hayley Bennett, who brings a real vibrancy and vivacious quality to the character. But I don't really know what Roxanne offers, you know? Like, she's very pretty and that's about it. Like, are we really going with another story where that's all that matters? I mean, she is shown to have, like, a lust for life and evidently is apparently interested in poetry and theatre and all the finer cultural things that she can't actually afford. But it really does just seem to come down to the fact that she's pretty and that's why she's got three men fighting over her. And I don't know, I just feel like she deserves more than that and that Hayley Bennett as an actress could have done more if she was given the opportunity. Like, she did manage to get a couple of moments of genuine character growth for Roxanne, but the film always seemed to move on very quickly to other things. And then the ultimate, like, realisation at the end of the film comes very, very quickly. Like, I don't want to say too much because of spoilers, but my God, the ending is sudden. It feels like they've got through about 10 minutes of the play script in about 90 seconds. And there's like this roller coaster of emotion and events and then credits just roll and you're like, okay, is that it? I just think it would have been nice to have that all a bit more smoothed out and developed, in my opinion. And I know I can't really hold a lot of my issues with the plot against the film per se. It's an issue with the story of every version of Cyrano that these men catfish a woman, but I don't know, I just kind of wanted more from it in that regard. And I'm going to be honest, I kind of feel the same about the music too. Like, I did enjoy the music. It's very pretty and gentle and has this kind of acoustic pop contemporary feel to it, which really does suit the style of the film. And I think the choreography from Sidi Larbi Chakawi is genuinely stunning and matches the songs incredibly well. It's very minimalist and lyrical and honestly, hands down, one of my favourite things about the film. But in terms of the music specifically, I found that a lot of it kind of blended together because of the style. Like, in the moment as I was listening to it and watching the film unfold as it went, it made sense and I did like it. But the second a song finished, I basically forgot the melody completely and the next song kind of blurred into it. There was actually a point where they used an instrumental reprise of one of the songs we'd heard earlier in the film and I was sat there going, God, this really sounds familiar. Why can't I put my finger on it? Where have I heard this before? And it was literally from the same film. And I do say this as well as someone who is a musicals fan and someone who can hear a song a couple of times and know most of the lyrics by heart. And so to walk out of a film and not be able to think of how any of the songs went was a bit of a shock to the system for me. And maybe I am being a little bit unfair with that assessment. Certainly there are a few songs that came back to me during the week or that I've listened to again on the cast recording and remembered better and enjoyed again. And in fact, I will drop a link in the post to the soundtrack if you want to give it a listen for yourself. I mean, the main standout song for me that really stayed with me was a song that's performed by three soldiers who are about to go into battle. They're played by Glenn Hansard, who wrote and starred in the musical Once, American singer Sam Amidon, and a British actor called Scott Folan, who is fresh out of his run leading Be More Chill in the West End. So it was great to see some musical theatre names represented there, and you can really tell the difference because all three of their voices are just so pure and easily emotive. It's a really beautiful, understated strip back moment in the film that just lets the genuine emotion and fear and hope and acceptance of their lives before war shine through. It was probably my favourite moment of the entire film, if I'm being honest, and definitely the one that has stayed with me the most afterwards for entirely good reasons. And I mean, there were other moments of gold throughout. As I said, I really enjoyed the choreography. There's a scene in particular where a group of people who work in a bakery are moving and dancing to match a letter that Cyrano is writing to Roxanne. And it's just the most gorgeous, sensual moment that's created. It really was beautiful to watch. And all of that style and aesthetic really does suit the film very well. It's a very pretty film to look at, and I appreciate that, particularly given how dark films tend to be these days. It was nice to have something that looked light and airy and, yeah, pretty is the word. It was like watching something through a piece of silk or gauze with rose-tinted glasses, which is kind of what you expect from a Joe Wright film by this point. You know, he did things like the 2005 version of Pride and Prejudice and Keira Knightley's Anna Karenina, so something like Cyrano is absolutely in his wheelhouse. So all in all, even with my criticisms out there, I did enjoy Cyrano a lot. Yes, I have quibbles with a lot of the individual parts of the film, but put together, it's a very pleasant watching experience. I'd say it's the perfect lazy weekend afternoon film, and I think a lot of people will really enjoy it when it eventually comes to streaming services. If you want to see it before then, though, it is currently available to watch in cinemas, so check it out if any of this has interested you. And the soundtrack is there for you to listen to as well via the link in the post if you want a taste of the music. I will give you fair warning and say that most of the songs do need to be seen in context to get the full effect, but there's definitely some pretty tunes that will at least give you a feel for what to expect, and also one random Hamilton-style number that I wish had been a more common theme throughout the film, but hey, what can you do? Either way, Cyrano is available to watch in cinemas now. And on that note, I will say goodbye for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening twice. First at 6 p.m. live on URN at 1350.net with Showtime for a whole hour of glorious musical theatre tunes. And then right here again at 7 p.m. straight after that for a brand new episode of Spotlight On to let you know exactly what's going on in the world of musical theatre. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.